Dear friends in Christ, we return this morning to what the liturgical calendar calls ordinary time. After the beautiful couple of months of celebrating first our preparation for Christmas in Advent and then the glorious celebration of the Lord's incarnation. It's worth wondering, where does this color green come from? Everything in the church has its own symbolism, it has a meaning. And if you look back in history, you find that the color green for most of the Sundays of the year, it comes from the color green that is so prevalent in nature. If you have a look at a satellite picture from up in space, what's the most obvious color in all the places where there's life? Green, plants, trees, vegetation. But in these days, that color green, it has a modern connotation that wasn't so back many centuries ago. Today we think of going green and we think, well, we've got ecology, we've got to guard our carbon footprints and not spend too much energy. And certainly it's important that we guard our planet from contamination and pollution, which wasn't even a problem until the era of modern technology. But now it is, as Pope Francis has emphasized in his recent encyclical, Laudato Si. There are some statements about specifically scientific matters that are certain not all scientists agree with that, but the doctrinal message of that encyclical, the part that is in the real competence of the Pope and other church leaders, is that, yes, we have a responsibility. We can see from the scriptures, God gave Adam and Eve custody of this earth and said, nurture the earth and subdue it and develop it. And so we have to keep watch over our earth. But getting back to the symbolism of green as life, in ancient times, people were not worried about ecology. But they saw green as a symbol for them, not just of a life as such, but of eternal life. That was the main reason for having green as a liturgical color, particularly because they're thinking of what we call the evergreen trees, right? That are green all year round, eternally green, even through the severest winter. And so for them, that was a symbol that green represents eternal life. And so green for many, many centuries has been prominent liturgical color. Something else very special about today's Mass, we're in the third year of the cycle of readings, year C, and so this year, just once in every 3 years, we hear the gospel, the beautiful gospel we've heard today of the wedding at Cana. And in this context, coming right after the Christmas season, we're reminded that this was one of the three great moments in our Lord's life that was part of the Epiphany, was celebrated in the early church, three of these events together as the Feast of the Epiphany or Manifestation of the Lord. We had three Sundays in a row now, the Magi, then last Sunday the Baptism of the Lord, and now the Manifestation for the first time of our Lord's divine power as he works his first miracle. And as we reflect on the importance of that miracle, there are a couple of other things that we should really note. First of all, the role of our Blessed Mother. There are those who say that Mary is not important, we don't have to worry about her intercession or asking her to pray for us. That's not the message that comes through from the gospel here. Our Lady noticed the needs of the people and she asked Jesus to take care of it, very quietly, humbly in her own way. She didn't make any demands. She didn't say, please do this or please. She just said, they have no wine. That was all she said. And we can see the tremendous respect that our Lord has for his Holy Mother because he changes his mind to please her out of honor and love for her. He says he wasn't planning on doing any miracles when he came along to that wedding. My hour has not yet come. That means it's not the time for me to go manifesting my divine power everywhere. So he does it quietly to please the Blessed Mother. Just says a word to the servants, put the water in, draw it out. Most of them didn't even know there was a miracle that had happened. But the disciples did. They realized what had happened. And they began to believe, yes, this is the Son of God. He's shown us his divine power. And Mary has shown us by her example how important it is for us to love her and honor her as Jesus honors his own mother. We can't honor him correctly unless we follow him in imitating his holy mother Mary. So she should be a very important part of our spiritual life. The other special thing about this miracle of Jesus is I think that it has a special note of joy about it. You know, when we look at the rest of Jesus' miracles carried out during his public life, nearly all of them were to rectify or put right a situation of grave danger and suffering when Jesus heals the dying and the sick and the blind and the deaf. He raises Lazarus and a couple of others from the dead. He walks on the water to save the apostles that are about to drown in that storm on the sea. The boat is sinking. The Lord walks to them and calms the storm. Most of those miracles in the Lord's public life are in moments of suffering and desperation even. But this time, no. This time there's a special note of joy here. This time it's only a relatively minor embarrassment. The wine has run out at the wedding. But Jesus shows us, first of all, he's honoring marriage there by his presence. Holy sacrament of marriage as we now have it under the new law. And he's also showing that he wants to do things just to increase our joy, our happiness. You know, there's some other words in the Bible that are not well known at all that talk about the importance of wine and happiness and joy and celebration. Not too many people have read the book of Sirach. Maybe some haven't even heard of it in the Bible. It's also called the book of Ecclesiasticus. The Protestants don't have it in their Bible. It's in the Catholic Bible. That's another reason why that's not quite so well known. Not all Christians have this in their Bible. In chapter 31, it has some nice words about wine, with a warning, of course, that it has to be in moderation. Let not wine drinking be proof of your strength, for wine has been the ruin of many. Wine is very life to man if taken in moderation. Does he really live who lacks the wine which was created for his joy? Joy of heart, good cheer, and merriment are wine drunk freely at the proper time. But headache, bitterness, and disgrace is wine drunk amid anger and strife. And more, in excess, it lessens his strength and multiplies his wounds. So there's a nice balanced biblical teaching about wine. Jesus wants us to be joyful and happy and rejoice, particularly on festive occasions. And wine is an important part of that, as the Lord shows himself, but in moderation, with care. Let's take away from Mass this morning 2 points then from our meditation. First of all, the great importance of our Blessed Mother. We should ask her to intercede with Jesus to help us in our needs and love her as Jesus loves her. And secondly, let's remember that there is a joy that Jesus wants us to have, not only in times of celebration, but even through the bad times. Remember those evergreen trees that our liturgical vestment symbolize at this time. Those hardy fir trees and pine trees and others that stay green, green, green for right through the very severest winter. And so we too can retain joy in our hearts throughout the moments of trial and suffering in our life if we realize that the true joy comes from being in the grace of God, having his grace in our hearts, and with that promise of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's turn now to